Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Nathan Totten.
I'm Nick Harris.
Great. And so we've got a really exciting show today. We've got, obviously, the news, as always.
Yep.
And in our feature today, we have not one guest, but four guests. We're actually going to be introducing some new technical evangelists to the team. We have, yes. We've had four people that have started either in the last couple weeks or a couple months. So so we're gonna bring them on and have them talk about kind of what they do. And then we've got our exciting closing. Yes. So why don't we get started with the news?
Okay.
So the first thing, this was announced last week, I think, actually just after we recorded the show, unfortunately, but before it aired.
Yeah.
But we actually announced two new data centers for Windows Azure, West US and East US. So this is really exciting, expanding our data centers. So as viewers know, we don't disclose the exact location of the data centers, but it is important to have at least a general idea of where they are based on your application.
Yep.
And then we also still have the north, north central,
yep,
US, and then south central.
Yeah, north and south central.
And south central, yeah.
Yep. And I think they already say there that they're available in the portal, so you,
yep,
can start deploying to that. SQL Azure is coming in the next few months,
yep,
to those. So just compute and storage.
So they have compute and storage now, and then,
yep,
SQL Azure is coming, and then I know that things like Service,
yep,
Bus, a lot of those services have a dependency on SQL Azure, so you could expect those services to be coming after SQL Azure, because they need
yep,
need SQL Azure to be.
And I think the backup of the data, it goes east to west,
yes,
and west to east, and,
yep,
north to south, south to west.
Yeah, that's
yep,
for our geo replication.
Yep.
So for
yep,
those that don't know, we geo replicate storage. So we have not only replication in the same data center, but we make a copy in another data center. And as Nick said, they,
yep,
go, yeah, the north to south, and then east to west.
Yep.
And then the same thing with there's two in Europe and then two in Asia. We do the same thing. So,
yep,
very cool. Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to see Windows Azure continuing to grow and Microsoft's investment in cloud computing,
yep,
expanding to give even more choices for developers. So this is our portal. So if we can see now we've,
yep,
got for compute, we can choose our region and we can do West US, East US. So it is,
okay,
I guess, actually along with what we said with SQL Azure, it's probably important to keep in mind that since you can't have SQL Azure there,
yep,
may still want to keep, if your app's very database intensive, you,
yep,
may want to not use these data centers until SQL Azure is there. But if you're using only storage and compute, you can do the same,
yep,
like affinity groups and,
yep,
stuff.
Yeah, and I think if they did have, say, for instance, compute in the, say, East data center and their SQL deployment in North, then there's going to be a data egress ingress,
yep,
cost there for,
yep,
SQL Azure DB.
Yep, exactly.
So it's worth considering.
Yep. All right, now let's move on to our next bit of news. This was actually announced the same day as the data center. So we launched this Windows Azure Trust Center. So this is a new portion of our website that's actually designed to talk about all kinds of stuff related to security, compliance, such as our like ISO certifications, and just general guidance on how to build a secure Windows Azure application. And both it sort of covers both from the context of what we're doing, physical security, the layers of protection we have built into our application, and then also guidance on what you as a developer should do to build a very secure application or a compliant application, depending on what your needs are.
Yep, definitely important.
So yeah, and so
great to see that coming.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got it's a blog post here, and then we have this whole new portion of the website. Let me open it up. Windows Azure Trust Center. So. You can see quite a few different areas for security and trust and compliance and privacy. So I think it's a great resource for developers. Obviously, security is extremely important in almost,
yeah,
every single application. So, all right, our final bit of news. I'll let you take this one over.
Oh, great. Thanks. All right. So there's been a refresh of the Service Bus EAI and EDI labs. So some of the key things to note there are more. If you scroll down a bit there, Nate, there's a whole list of new capabilities that they've released. If you come down a little bit further, see that in the labs that they've gone out. So this was previously released in December 2011. Now they've gone off and added a whole bunch of new functionality, which you can see there. Some of the things which I think are cool there is, say, the bridge now can go and process flat files, whether they're delimited by a delimiter like a semicolon or a comma, tab delimited, or pure XML. But one of the other things that I think is great is the ability for a bridge to actually pull data from an FTP server. So you may be hosting some form of data on your on-premise server. You've exposed that via FTP, and that data can be pulled in via the bridge. You can validate that data and transform it for whatever means you need for those external services or other third-party sort of applications. So cool. Definitely worth checking out. I think really to give this justice, we probably will need to do a dedicated session on it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it looks like some cool stuff, especially for maybe some enterprise integration scenarios. Like you said, if you have like a legacy service that just exposes with FTP, things like that. Yeah. So I think some really powerful stuff here. I haven't had a chance to dig into it too much, but this is in the labs environment, correct?
Yes.
So it's a preview. It's not no SLA, things like that. So it's just to experiment with. And presumably, at some point, it'll if it becomes a feature, it'll make it into the production environment. But right now, it's sort of just to play around with.
Yeah, no, I've built some solutions that essentially have done this sort of thing, but I've done it all manually.
Yep.
So I'm really excited to get into the lab and start playing around to see how powerful this is for us.
Cool, very cool. All right, so our next segment, as I alluded to, rather than doing a normal show where we have a guest on explain some topic, I think it's actually a great time to introduce some of the new Windows Azure evangelists. We've had an expansion to our team. As you know, Wade has left Microsoft onto new opportunities. So we actually had to go and hire 4 new people to replace him, even though I guess they were probably all hired before he actually quit. But basically, we have 4 people now to replace this guy. As Wade pretty much worked constantly, and it's pretty hard to keep up with him. So
yeah, definitely. So very broad shoulders to sort of he was
big
holding
shoes
up a lot of stuff.
Is that an Australian? Is that broad shoulders or big
broad
feet
shoulders?
To fill,
you're holding up. A lot of stuff, and now it's sort of flowing down to the rest.
We'll have Bob translate your sayings into U.S. English. We'll get up Steve's. We still need to make the 2 Englishes version of Australian English.
Yes.
So right. I still have a hard time understanding.
I think that's
you
what Steve said he was doing as his startup.
Oh, that's right. I was really hoping for the Flatterist to be like Flatterist 2.0 to be his startup. Where
Flatterist was awesome.
That, I know. It's still up. I think it's. Okay. I listen to it every morning to give myself a boost. So. All right, so let's jump in and bring on our first guest. The first guest we have is Hashu, and then we're gonna bring in a few of the other guys, all 4 of them, as I said.
Yep.
So let's bring Hashu on and see what get to know him. All right, so the first new evangelist we have on the show is Hashu. I'm having trouble pronouncing it correctly, but was that okay?
Yeah, it's a hard name to pronounce.
Yeah.
The Hashu. Okay.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you did before Microsoft, and then sort of the regular things, what your Twitter account is and your website, and then sort of what you're going to be working on here at Microsoft.
Sure. I'm from China. I've been working and studying in U.S. For 12 years. Before Microsoft, I've been working primarily in the Bay Area. I work on different companies, different projects. Initially, I worked on the Y2K problem, if you remember that.
We did an awesome job.
The Y2K was not bad at all.
I was quite young
then. You fixed
then.
It. Yeah, you definitely fixed it, right?
Yeah, definitely fixed it. So I did Y2K, then did some e-business, B2B integration. I also did the artificial intelligence project. Then the regular projects like website, mobile, Windows client, and as well as digital identity, compliance, all kinds of projects.
Cool. I hear you got to actually something interesting. You were telling us at lunch the other day that you got to ride around in a police car for one of your jobs.
Oh yeah, that was exciting. That was one unique experience. That's when I worked for a company called ShotSpotter. That's when you go on a business trip, they give you a bullet vest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have to wear a bullet vest and ride in the police car in Oakland, California. If you don't know the place, it's kind of a crazy
place. There's some bad areas, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
So and I assume you'll be tweeting and blogging just like the rest of the evangelists. What's your Twitter account?
Yeah, definitely. My Twitter account is HaishiPi2010.
Okay. And we'll put a link so you,
yeah,
can,
okay.
You don't
have
to. Yeah,
okay. Here.
Yes, there you
okay,
go.
Okay. There's my Twitter
there
handle.
Go.
I am not your puppet anymore.
And I have a blog, also HaishiPi at blogspot.com.
Perfect.
It's right here.
Okay. And what, so what kind of stuff?
I also have an 800 number, too.
Oh, really? Okay, you don't want to call that one. No, that's...
Send check or money order to the address on your screen.
That's charges by the minute.
1-800? Are they free?
I don't know.
Still learning how to talk to you.
What'll be your area of focus for Windows Azure, then?
For now, I guess it's quite generic, mostly computing, storage, and service bus and ACS.
Yeah.
I guess over time we'll figure out what I will be focused on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. And I'm sure we'll have you back on the show sometime soon to talk about.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah. Talk about whatever it is you end up diving into. So.
Yeah, I like service bus and ACS a lot. So yeah. Probably we can talk about that.
Cool. Cool. Okay. Well, we're glad to have you on the team and.
Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all excited. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right, so our next guest we have is Corey Fowler. You've actually been on the show twice before, or just once?
Just the once.
Just once,
yeah.
Okay.
I was the failover for Corey on the VMworld team.
Cool, gotcha. Yeah. So Corey actually just started on Monday, so it's just his first week on the team, but you were an Azure MVP before, correct?
Yep.
And also, obviously, a Canadian.
Yeah, I'm bringing a little bit of Canadian-ness to the team, also some gingerness, so I hope to be a very valuable asset.
Nice. And it took quite a long time for you to actually get your visa and everything sorted out, right?
So I hear you're not that great at paperwork.
Yeah. I think you two have that in common. Nick actually has been threatened with deportation to Australia several times as a result of not filling out his visa paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah, it took a little bit of time, but glad to be down here now.
Which is, it's surprising that it would be that, I mean, I can understand why we wouldn't let an Australian in. I mean, that look at that guy, his scraggly beard and everything. At least your beard's like well-groomed. But it's surprising that from Canada you would have to
A little bit of bad blood there because we get treated so well as Canadians around the world. So, they have some issues with that.
Okay, very cool. All right, so I'm sure you probably have more Twitter followers than Cloud Cover and us combined. So it's probably we don't need to go to it, but you have a Twitter account.
Yeah, I do
account,
have a
obviously.
Twitter account. It's Syntax C4.
Okay,
yeah.
And we'll put a link.
Yeah, right here.
Very nice.
There you go.
And you blog and
I do
and
blog.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your blog?
My blog is blog.syntaxc4.net.
Cool.
Okay.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you did, what you worked on before Microsoft, and then we can you can talk about what you expect to work on, given that it's only your fifth day here.
Yeah.
I guess it's the fifth day when the show gets released.
Oh, that's right.
So you have to pretend like it's Friday.
Yeah,
so we're
taking it easy on you now.
Yeah.
Wait till next week.
Yeah, next week is when the work starts. So, but why don't you tell us a little bit about what you did before Microsoft?
Yeah, so before Microsoft, I was a consultant and did a lot of work on a variety of projects, some mobile stuff, a lot of small to medium-sized business, some large enterprise stuff. So really the full gamut of the industry, really.
Cool. And you did a lot of work on Windows Azure.
Yeah, that was, basically to get my MVP, it took a lot of work, a lot of blogging. So right from the beginning, I was converting old projects into the new versions of the SDK,
okay.
As well as investigating things in and around the platform. So
cool.
I did a lot of work there.
So there's an opening for an MVP in Canada.
Yeah, I was actually the first Canadian MVP. There's another one in Canada now. But I'm leaving him with a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
so
he's got quite an area to cover.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of talks to go to.
Yeah. So if there's any Canadians out there, work really hard and become a Windows Azure MVP to help out.
Excellent. Okay. And so now that you, I mean, I know you, like we said, you're pretty new, so you may not know exactly what you're going to be working on. But what sort of stuff are you sort of planning on or thinking about? Working on as far as focusing on for Windows Azure?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to help out the open source community on Windows Azure. That's going to be one of my main focuses.
Okay.
So just working with different groups, maybe some PHP, Node.js, just whatever, because obviously Windows Azure supports all open source languages, so whatever really comes down my...
Cool, very cool. Yeah, we've got, I mean, I know we've got some exciting stuff coming for PHP in the future. I mean, we've got sort of the, you know, we've released the obviously we have the .NET open source SDK on GitHub, and we've released the Node.js SDK, and then so we're going to be following that, obviously, with the PHP stuff, as we want to provide full support for all the languages on Windows Azure. And so I think you're going to be working a little bit on that especially. So,
So cool. Open and flexible.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I think Nick's sort of plotting. He wants you to. He's gonna don't fall for that. He's gonna help you. Like you're gonna be writing unit tests all day on the Windows 8 toolkit or something. So be careful with that. You got to be really busy for your calendar. So yeah, Corey's only been at Microsoft for, like I said, a week. So we were very. It was very easy to get you on the show today. You haven't actually had your calendar filled up, and you're not 1,000 emails behind like the rest of us yet, since you've only
begun.
I keep mine. I try to keep mine at zero. It never actually happens. I think I'm at like maybe 100 emails right now in my inbox. You're at what, like 4 to 6 million, and like several hundred thousand unread messages.
Yeah, but I'll get to your emails.
He won't. Cool. Well, welcome to the team, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So our we've had Hashu and Corey, and we also have our third guest is actually not here. Our third guest is John Galloway. He's new to the team as well. He's actually working remotely from San Diego, so the weather there is probably a little better. I think he said something about sunny and 70 some degrees.
I wish I knew about that option when we onboarded here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, you would have stayed in Australia. I don't know. Florida's too hot for me. I don't mind it here, but probably Sydney is. Nice. I've never been there, but I think it's pretty nice. But San Diego, I think, is almost as nice. So we've got John here on this floating bubble here. So he's coming from us remotely. Yep. So John, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and you know, maybe what you did before you were at Microsoft.
Sure. My name's John Galloway. I work remotely for Microsoft from San Diego, California. I've been doing web development for about 15 years now, and ASP.NET since it first came out, and a lot of different projects, small little projects, all the way up to big financials and big healthcare. I've been blogging and participating in open source for a long time. Been part of the Herding Code podcast for a few years, and just having a lot of fun with it. So. I've been at Microsoft for the past 2 years, and during that time I do some external things like speaking at conferences, and I was part of the first webcams tour, and I write the MVC Music Store tutorial and some other tutorials and screencasts and things. And then internally I help on the ASP.NET website and just assist the product team on things like release notes for product releases and things like that.
Okay, cool. Very, very, very interesting. So, so John actually, as he said, has worked at Microsoft for a little while, and now he's going to be focusing on the Windows Azure team. He was focusing on, as he said, ASP.NET stuff. Yeah. So we're gonna he's going to be doing a lot of stuff with Windows Azure web stuff. John, why don't you tell us a little bit about what your kind of future plans are, what you're going to do going forward on the Windows Azure evangelism team.
Yeah, well, my focus is on ASP.NET as a platform. And so for the most part, my focus doesn't change a whole lot in this new role. The idea is ASP.NET is a great web platform. Azure is a great place to host your ASP.NET applications. And so I'm just focusing on ASP.NET as a great web platform. I'm going to continue to work on documentation, tutorials, things like that for ASP.NET, supporting the ASP.NET community, you know, speaking, helping organize conferences and things. And so that's the main focus. Of course, along the way, I'll be talking about new exciting things coming up for Azure, but really I'm focused specifically on ASP.NET as a platform.
So, John, what's your Twitter alias? I'm sure people will want to get a hold of you.
My Twitter handle, get ready for this, is John Galloway. JonGalloway.
All right, cool. Well, welcome to the team, John, and thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks, guys. Glad to join the team, and thanks for having me on Cloud Cover.
All right, so our fourth guest is Brady Gaster. He's been on the team. You've been on the team for almost a month, right?
About 4 months.
You've been here. I guess you've been here for. It's only been a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, I've been in Redmond for 2 weeks. Before that, I was working remote, just like John from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's time. It's 4 months. Yeah, I forgot. I mean, I know you've been. Yeah, so Brady's been working remotely for 3 months or three and a half, 4 months, and then in the office for. That's what I was thinking. You've been in the office, but you've only been in the office like a week and a half.
Yeah, so, something like that.
Yeah, you're all that music you're playing across the hall. You're like this morning. It was like. I won't do it, but you're like listening to it. There's like a rave over there, so yeah, I'm already sick of you. So it seems like a month
with the lights off as well.
Yeah, with the lights off and your reclining chair, So
well, I had to replace Wade's music.
So yeah, why don't you? So you've been at Microsoft for a little while now. Mm-hmm. Why don't you actually tell us about what you've done before Microsoft, joining the company?
Before Microsoft, I did a lot of consulting. I did a lot of contract work, all pretty much in the .NET space. Before .NET was around, I did COM and ASP. Pretty much all the stuff I've done has been web services, so that kind of stuff.
And I see you've been doing a little bit of stuff on your blog with robotics.
Yes, I have done a little bit with robotics. I got started with Netduino about a year ago, played with that some. Recently built a Eddy robot, which was kind of fun.
Cool.
Trying to connect that to the cloud. Been a lot of fun. And since I've been at Microsoft, I've hosted a couple of shows, webcams, TV shows. Been organizing some roadshow events, basically some web camps. John Galloway and I actually introduced those camps on web camps, I think next week. We're going to be talking about that.
Very cool. So, and you've done, I know you've done a good number of stuff on SignalR. You gave a talk at CodeMesh that was quite good,
Thanks.
On SignalR.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot with SignalR. I had the SignalR guys, Dave and Damien, on the show a couple months back. It was a pretty exciting show to have. I've been doing a lot with that, but it's been kind of my area, and I'm going to be focusing like John Galloway on the web stack, pretty much.
Cool.
I'm doing a lot of stuff in the future.
Very cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So, if people want to tweet you or contact you on Twitter, what's the?
It's pretty easy. It's Brady Gaster. It's not my full name, no spaces or anything.
And your blog?
BradyGaster.com.
Okay. Nice. That's like me. I like to keep everything the same. Right. If your name's unique, like you get, you're sort of every single place you're on is different because your name is so common.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're
so great.
If your name's a bit more unique like us, you can pretty much. I'm Entotten like almost everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So except for I think Gmail was the one that I couldn't claim that account and I.
So what we need the viewers to do now is every new service that starts up, please try and get Entotten. Because we just want to have some fun.
I will be if I can no longer claim that, like every time, like the next thing, the next Facebook I go on, like, no, Cloud Cover viewers. No.
What will his new alias be?
Yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we introduced four great new people that we're gonna have a lot of exciting things coming with Windows Azure. So we've got a lot bigger team than we've had recently, so should expect some great work from the team. I think that's about all for our main segment. And so it's about that time now. It's time for the tip of the week. And we're back. You missed it.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Okay. The moment's over. No. So our tip of the week is actually a really really useful one. We've got a blog post here about basically it's comparing using various asynchronous techniques and synchronous programming on Windows Azure, and it actually builds these tests that run the various methods like using async. using the task parallel library, I like continue, await, things like that.
Parallel for each.
Yeah, parallel for each, and then also a normal synchronous request. Yeah. And what he's actually doing, the idea was to compare the speed of running these techniques on various different sizes of Windows Azure virtual machines. So he ran the test like all the way on extra large up to extra small to compare the difference. And what the test is actually he downloaded the Enron email data set, which was for those that do you know Enron?
I don't.
Okay. So after Enron was an oil company or something, they went bankrupt, and basically for the court proceedings or something of that effect, they ended up like releasing tons of emails, like their internal company emails. So it's like this huge like millions of emails. And so what he's actually doing is searching through those emails, which are all in text documents.
I think he's got a subset of them though, right? It's not.
The test would be. Yeah, so he took a subset of them, searches through them, the test document, so it's a high like IO operation, and searches for like, and I think it's like sorting who the emails are from and counting like who sent what email. Yep. So pretty simple operation, but the idea is to do this large operation, and the results are pretty interesting. Let me scroll down here. So you get, here's the comparison. And as expected, anything that's asynchronous performs significantly better than the synchronous results. So these charts here are actually time to complete the task.
Yeah. So that first one there is extra small, which is a shared CPU, right?
Yeah. So extra small is as expected would take longer than the other ones. But you see here the various methods: normal, synchronous method, and then the parallel for each, and then the async. And the results are pretty consistent in terms of the differences between each method. And as is expected, the synchronous takes the longest, and the straight async takes the least amount of time. Yeah. The parallel libraries and the task libraries are sort of the wrapper, to make programming asynchronously easier, but that from what it seems like from these results, that wrapper adds a slight amount of overhead. Yep. But you'll see with the code that, personally, given the small differences in results, the asynchronous version of code is quite a bit more complex than, using the parallel for each or things like that. So, but really cool. And then you can see how the times are slightly different, and how some of them actually get shorter based on the size of the CPU. Yeah. And obviously parallel works the best on the largest core,
With async there, right?
Or async, but the asynchronous methods and the parallel methods work better on the larger machines with multiple cores.
Yep.
So, and he's got he has code to download, so you can actually download and run the sample yourself. Yeah.
I think one point there to note as well that he's gone and said is he set the service point manager connection limit.
Yes,
he's increased that so he can have multiple requests.
Yep. Yeah. And so that's a really good point. I've always sort of wondered why because service point manager, my understanding is the recommended. So it basically manages in all of .NET how many how many connections or. Yep. Or can be made, is it, it's not, he's not, is he doing HTTP request, is HTTP request, or is it?
Yeah, I think it is, he's doing a web request there for the async method.
Okay.
You go up a little, there, let's see, the get web request.
Oh, that's right, yep.
Begin get response and end get response there.
So the service, what's the service point, what's the property?
Service point manager.
Yeah, so that property he's setting dictates to all of .NET how many simultaneous HTTP requests can be made at one time.
Yes.
The default is in .NET 4 is...
I think it was 2.
It used to be 2, but I think
it went up to 10.
It's 10 now, yep. Okay.
And you can increase above that.
Yeah. My understanding is the recommended guidance in most cases is, I think it's 12 times the number of cores you have. Right. So it's sort of like... It's a really good point because basically the default configuration, especially if you're on a multi-core machine, is probably too low, and you should always increase that. A really easy way to get more performance if you're doing a lot of HTTP requests on Windows Azure.
But I think the other key point to note here is his approach. If you're trying to parallelize work, it's always worthwhile testing for your particular scenario what's going to be most performant.
Yep.
Because depending on where your workload is, it may be more performant to do it one way than another.
Yep.
And in this particular case, he's come back with Async.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, for everything from how you do it and also what size of VM you're doing.
Because
usually our recommendation for like a web app, right, is to use small instances or even depending on the app, an extra small just because of the price difference. You know, you may not need a dedicated core, and also given that it's like three times less expensive for an extra small versus small, you may be able to get more total computing out of more smaller size instances. So for web apps, often it makes sense to do, you know, lots of small instances, but for something like this, you can see that it might often make sense to use an extra large or even, you know, at least like a medium or something.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a great sample and good to download, and I mean, it's pretty easy to see how you could take that and tweak it for your specific scenario.
Yep.
Awesome.
So cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that wraps everything up today. As always, follow us on at Cloud Cover Show on Twitter.
Yep.
Leave, you know, comments on the show's post on Channel 9, and we'll be happy to respond. If you have any, you know, topics you'd like to see us cover or anything, let us know on Twitter.
Yep.
Anything else?
That's about it, I think. I'd like to thank all the guests for coming today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
welcome to our new Windows Azure Evangelist. Yep. It's exciting that our team has grown, and we've got some cool stuff coming, and I'm sure we've got some great things coming from these guys. Yep. So, all right.
High expectations.
Yes. Yep. All right. Well, thanks for watching, and we will see you next time.